In honor of our Savior Jesus, please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel, according to St. Luke, chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." And Jesus said to him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said to him, "To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And the devil took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and, quote, on their hands, they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone," end quote. And Jesus answered him, "It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, dear sons and daughters of God. You're familiar with this word. Throughout the course of your life, you faced plenty of temptations. When you're little, you try to get away with things that mom and dad can't see. Anyone successful? To our own detriment, amen? And then, you know, when you're in your teenage years, my goodness, the temptations. And we hear stories about peer pressure and all that. But, you know, peer pressure never ends. There's plenty of peer pressure no matter what your age is. The temptation to go along, to get along, don't rock the boat, shut up and sing, is there. In all kinds of different ways. Temptation. We've all taken vacations. Don't like them as much, still take day trips at times, but realize they always leave us with regret and guilt and fear and shame, and maybe some of us, like old Adam, still want to point blame elsewhere. The challenge with temptation is that it's so subtle. It can show up in all kinds of different ways. I know if the devil burst through the floors here, we'd all be able to withstand him. We'd probably say, "It's time to close the service." If he comes to us directly, we can handle it. But he's so stinking subtle. He's so crafty. And we hear all about it today in our gospel reading. Our Savior Jesus came into this world, God taking on flesh and blood. And he came to work rescue. And it's fascinating. He begins his public ministry at the Jordan River, baptized, and from his baptism, he goes out in the wilderness. It's fascinating. Our great, 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 great grandparents, Adam and Eve, were in a lush garden where they had everything at their disposal. But one thing, in this lush, pristine environment, the human race fell into cascading temptation and trial and failure. Jesus goes out to the desert where there is hardly anything but death. And he faces the same old tempter. And we can learn about the subtlety of temptation in our lives by simply looking at the temptations that Jesus faced. And it started out with the belly. Oh, you're hungry. Make yourself something to eat. Make bread out of these stones. How many ways are you and I tempted just to take care of our physical needs? Take care of this, take care of that. No time for a Bible study, no time for a devotion in the evening or in the morning, no time to say prayers. We just focus on all things physical in all kinds of ways, falling into the temptation of neglecting what commandment again it is? What, the third commandment? All kinds of different ways. It's so tempting. We get so involved with all kinds of things. We binge on TV and we binge on this and that, and I like potato chips, I'm sorry. But what we really need is the Word of God. It's interesting, Matthew records this same temptation and carries the whole thing out. Man does not live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We need a constant diet in God's Word more than anything else. And how many of us are spiritually starving to death because we're barely being sustained with what we have? Because we've been tempted in so many ways. That's just how subtle temptation is. The second temptation is interesting as well. The devil shows Jesus the kingdoms of the world. The prince of this world, Jesus calls him. The god of this age, Paul calls the devil. And the devil says to Jesus, you can have all this. You just skip suffering. Boy, is that appealing to you and me? My goodness, how many of us don't like to live in the comfort zone of our own world? Anybody? No one's raising their hand. Please take note. We all give into the temptation of taking care of ourselves. What does Maslow say? We're always faced with opportunities to grow or opportunities to keep ourselves safe. And keeping ourselves safe after a while becomes a bondage. So always wanting to live in our comfort zone, we're taking in the temptation of just being safe, not understanding just how detrimental it is to our lives. Whether it has to do with creating friendships or trying something new with our work, or just dealing with things as Christians, sharing the gospel with people that we've known for a long time. We fall into all of these temptations. You do, I do, we all do. It just comes so natural to us. It's like there's a spiritual gravity that leads us to temptation. And when we're realizing there's a temptation, you know, we crawl away hoping that it catches us. Better to be safe than sorry. How many ways are we tempted to just take care of ourselves? Not going to teach Sunday school, not going to be on the board of outreach, not going to resist going along and getting along with the dirty jokes at staff, at the staff break, what have you. How many ways are you and I tempted by Satan's bait? Third temptation. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from the temple. I mean, it's interesting. So the devil really knows the Word of God. This is scary. He's a lot better at it than you and I are. Take note of it. So Jesus keeps doing this word stuff with the devil. And the devil says, okay, let's go to the top of the Jerusalem temple and I'll quote some scripture to you. Pretty scary that the devil knows the Bible. And so, you know, hey, Bible, God says, go ahead. And then Jesus says, it also says, don't tempt the Lord. How many ways do we fail to really do due diligence in our lives, thinking that we can just be forgiven? What's the saying? Better to ask for forgiveness than for permission. And man, all you have to do is talk to Esau about how painful that is. He wept for repentance and didn't find it. How many ways do we in our lives just figure, well, we'll just settle for forgiveness? How many ways do we put God to the test and actually put him to the test, thinking that somehow he'll have us covered when we end up finding ourselves facing all kinds of challenges because we took the bait? But, you know, as much as the devil is in the details, it's not just the devil that's in the details here. Certainly he is. He's the tempter. He's the accuser of the brothers. And whatnot, but there's more to temptation than just the devil and the details of what he does in your life and my life in these ways. We're also tempted by ourselves. And we're going to look at it here in James. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. Man, I've heard that. I don't know if I've said it But I've certainly heard it. How about you? James goes on, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. Here's the challenge. Let's read it together. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Here's a crazy phrase. Simul iustus et peccator, simultaneously sinner saint. You are a new creation in Christ, and yet you have the old Adam, or the carnal nature, your sinful nature. What did Jesus say? You know, how can you who are evil give your son a scorpion instead of when he asks for a loaf of bread? So there's a wickedness and an evil in us. Let me explain it this way. When we talk about sin, the Greek word means to miss perfection, to miss the bullseye, to be off plumb. If you don't do everything in your life perfect, you're a sinner. You're just missing perfection. And then when God says, thou shalt not, and you say, well, I know I'm not supposed to do this, but I'm going to cross this boundary, we call that transgression. And then there's something inside of us called wickedness and evil. And we call this the mystery of wickedness. Inside, we can actually think things that God doesn't even think of. Does that blow your mind or what? And this is the problem that James is addressing. Verse 14. Some evil desire comes up within our hearts and in our minds. And what does it do to us? It drags us away. Isn't it crazy how we can tempt ourselves and drag us away into some kind of temptation? How many times do you find yourself kicking and screaming? That's a good thing. How often do you find yourself saying, oh, why not? It's just a little click, it's a little touch, it's a little larceny, and so forth. But then this is the anatomy of the explosion. It starts out so little, and then it starts dragging us away. We are enticed. Then, verse 15, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. And we have no one else to blame but ourselves. Certainly the devil's in the details. But oftentimes I have no one to blame but myself. It's interesting. Look at the front bulletin. See the picture of, I mean, who knows what the fruit was in the Garden of Eden. Apples are okay, so eat an apple. Eat two. I love them. But note the caption underneath the picture. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God. I mean, talk about testing Jesus' identity. So, you know, so we struggle with identity issues. And, of course, that was the hard, if you really are the Son of God, like there's doubt there. I'm sure glad Jesus didn't struggle with his identity, though he was tempted to in all kinds of different ways. We'll look at that in a minute. If you are the Son of God, and Jesus said to him, you shall not, you can actually write that in. Do a little editing on the bulletin right now. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. How many of us no longer want to tempt the Lord? Amen. Amen. The problem is it's too late. We're too good at it. In some ways, we have PhDs in it, with all due respect to those who have earned degrees. But here's the good news. Here's the good news. Here's the good news. Let this good news wash all over you. There was someone who faced all the temptations of the devil. And he was victorious. He was victorious, not just for himself, but he was victorious for you and for me. If I would have had a chance, I know I shouldn't say that kind of stuff, but the Skit Guys have a really cool skit, and you can look it up on YouTube later on. They're called the Skit Guys. They go to all kinds of youth things. I've seen them in different applications, LCMS and otherwise. And they have a really cool skit. One of them plays the role of the devil with a bird cage with a bird in it, a human being. The other one is Jesus. And Jesus walks up to the devil, what you got there? And the devil says, I've got a human being. What are you going to do with that human being in that birdcage? And what does the devil say? I'm going to poke him, and I'm going to play with him, I'm going to tease him, and I'm going to pull out his feathers, and I'm going to do all kinds of nasty, mean things to him. I'm going to tempt him to do all kinds of things. And then, guess what Jesus does? He says, put me in the cage so that the little birdie can fly free. That little birdie is you. And that little birdie is me. And it's because of what Jesus willingly did. He withstood all the temptations of the devil. And then he went the way of the cross, suffering in our place, all for we, by our sin, wickedness, and transgression deserve, so that we would be free. Now, a little commercial for a couple of Wednesdays from now, but that's the deliverance metaphor, the picture of being rescued. And it's more than just a story. It's the truth. It's really what Jesus did by his cross. How did we sing it? By his stripes. We are healed. And that's the truth. For all the ways that you and I have fallen short, for all the ways that you and I have been tempted and given in, Jesus can relate. He understands. But he also comes to our rescue, delivering us from all those things. When you look back now, look back understanding that it's all been taken care of by what Jesus has done for you. Trust this good news. When you think about what Jesus did, taking your place, don't you want to say, yay, yay, Jesus. Yay, Jesus. You did it for me. You did it for me. Not only can we live in that victory, but we can also understand that Jesus can help us now. Not only has he delivered us from temptation, but he can help us like no one else can as we struggle with temptations in our lives. In fact, Jesus is the way through temptation. Here's the way we hear it in Hebrews chapter 4. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. Holding on to what Jesus has done for us. His sacrifice, by his stripes, we are healed. That's our story, and we're sticking to it in our lives every day. And that's the story we can tell. Yes, I'm a sinner, but I've been forgiven and loved. And there are days where I'm tempted to take a day trip into temptation, but it's just not that good. Verse 15, let's read that together. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who is in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. He knows. I mean, it's almost beyond our ability to understand, but in every and all ways that you and I can be tempted, across the spectrum of who and what we can be, Jesus was, and he withstood, and he knows. He knows what you and I are going through like no one else does. And because of this, what can we do? Verse 16, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. When's our time of need? Anytime we're being tempted. And when we've taken the bait and now we can't release ourselves and get away from it. Lord, I'm hooked. And we're after. So before, during, and after, we're facing temptation. We have the Lord right there. He's an ever-present help. He's right there for us. We can receive mercy. Look at that. We can receive mercy and find grace. Oh, Lord, I've done it again. I need your mercy. Lord, I need your grace to withstand it next time. That's what it means to have Jesus as the way through temptation. And certainly, our risen and reigning Savior is there for us today and tomorrow and throughout this brand new week. And that's the story you can tell. He's the Lord of your life and my life. And he understands what you're going through, how hard it can be. And he can help you like no one else can. He's the one who freed you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.